Well, here we are at the snow leopard den, so to speak.
Yeah, we're the outside exhibit. So this is, I believe that's Niecy. So that's our two-year-old snow leopard cub that was born here. And she is going to be going to the Louisville Zoo here in a couple months and be part of the breeding program there. So one of the interesting things that a lot of people don't know about the Miller Park Zoo is we are the leader, the coordinator for the Species Survival Plan for North America. So what that means is we orchestrate, we say who breeds, where cats go, every single snow leopard in North America. So there's that's 69 different institutions across North America, about 150 cats.
Is that just for the snow leopard, or is that for other threatened species as well?
We do snow leopards and we do the Tomorrow Wallaby. So we run two programs out of our zoo here in Bloomington.
It is another beautiful animal with spots and just striking gray eyes, the snow leopard.
Yeah, a very distinct cat compared to other great cats. Those white and gray markings, that long tail. Long tail actually has two purposes. One is for balance in the mountains, so they'll be on very steep cliffs. But when it's cold and they're resting, they use it as a scarf. It's an endangered species. We're estimating there's probably about 7,000 snow leopards left in the wild. That number's probably high. It's probably closer to 4,000 from the latest things I've read. So it's an endangered species that could go away. Animals you see here at the zoo, those are ambassadors. So those are the animals that I may never see a snow leopard in the wild. My kids may never see, my great-grandkids may never see a snow leopard in the wild. So you want to get them engaged. If they don't see or know what that animal is, they're never going to want to try to save it. So we need to be able to show people what a snow leopard looks like, and that's what our group has done. And we've had 2 years worth of cubs in a row. We're the only zoo in North America that had cubs 2 years in a row. Feel very fortunate about that. This past year is the first year we didn't in the last two, and that's because mom's still with the cubs.
Explain to me how the snow leopard became so threatened and, in fact, endangered.
In their case, a lot of it's habitat loss. So these guys are from Central Asia, so think about the Himalayan mountains. And as people have moved up in altitude, and we've changed more things into agriculture, whether it's farming of any kind, grazing, cattle, the space and the land that used to be pure snow leopards is now, people are habitating that area now, and they've lost space. They've also been poached. So humans are the number one reason they are endangered.
They're poached for what purpose?
In some cases it's meat, mostly it's the coloration.
The pelt.
Yeah. So some of the issues are, some animals, it's for maybe it's in Asian cultures, it's a aphrodisiac or a medical treatment. It's luckily that's not the case for snow leopards right now, but mostly habitat loss, but it's people is the main reason they are endangered.
There are people who would say, why should we care if a snow leopard is endangered? Isn't it more important for people to grow crops where they live and get food to survive?
Everything's part of the cycle, cycle of life. I'm kind of getting Disney here, but, talking about how we lose an apex predator like a snow leopard, then deer and other animals that are grazers, animals that they prey upon, those numbers are going to increase. Then those animals, so if there's more deer or animals that will eat greens, farming grains, they'll start going into the fields and eating all the crops. So we need the predators. We need every piece of that chain in place, and that's for our existence as well as theirs.
It's the old saying, every action has a reaction.
Absolutely. I'm a firm believer in that. If we miss one part of that chain, things go out of whack. I love seeing things like Yellowstone Park when they instituted the wolves. I think it's 20 years now. And seeing how it changed the river streams. Elk numbers decreased, which means vegetation grew. And they have video footage of that. It's incredible. I never would have guessed by adding wolves would have changed that much, but it did. And you can go and see it visibly. And that's here in the U.S. That's not even third world countries. So if it can happen here, third world countries can even make a bigger significant difference.
And speaking of wolves, you have some here that you're trying to save.
So here at the Red Wolf exhibit, we're talking about another critical endangered species. Actually, at one point, it was extinct in the wild. So in the late 70s, they realized red wolves were disappearing. Went out and caught every red wolf they could find, brought them into captivity, and we're now starting to breed them and put them back. So the Miller Park Zoo has a litter right now, which is significant anyway. But it's even more significant because this pair that we have now has never reproduced before. So we're adding genes to the pool, and we always want that pool as deep as we can get it.
Have other red wolves reproduced here?
We have. This is our fourth litter in our history. We had a litter in 94, and then in 10, 11, and 12, and then now in 17. So I guess this is our fifth litter. So it's a great opportunity to talk about what zoos do for endangered species. So again, red wolves were brought in from the wild. Every single red wolf that we knew about, we know about. We have it. There's no more red wolves to bring in from the wild. Every single one we know about. They were bred, released back in the North Carolina. We hit numbers as high as 100. We're now back down to about 40. So the state of North Carolina has changed their ideas and philosophies towards red wolves and are actually removing red wolves.
Why is that?
Philosophies have changed. Because of the success of the program, red wolves spread out into public lands, and I think that bothers some citizens of North Carolina. Other than that, you'd have to ask people in North Carolina. That's I can't guess on what their thoughts are.
Anyone who's read Aldo Leopold's book, Sand County Journal, would know that at one time we Americans thought it was a great idea to eradicate the wolves. We want them back. Why do we want them back?
You want to have that apex predator out. That's what red wolves are. And one thing that I talk to people about is, you know, it's a critically endangered species here in the U.S. How do we go to other countries? You know, we talked about snow leopards. How do we go to other countries and say, you need to manage your populations better and save this endangered species when we're not doing a good job ourselves? So I think some of that comes back to us and our philosophies. But I'm a firm believer in having that apex predator, part of that life chain that you need to control populations of the animals below them, who control the populations below them. And it's we're all linked together one way or another. We're all one world.
But you can see from the example of North Carolina that the numbers are going down. After going up, they're going down. And as soon as the wolves became a nuisance again, people did not want them around.
Right. That red wolf species will go extinct. All we'll have are hybrids. So that's a concern that zoos have and the pure scientists have. We want to make sure we're keeping that pure red wolf intact. So trying to find a new place in the U.S. to maybe do a reintroduction program, I believe, is in the works. And the Miller Park Zoo is doing everything we can to help with the red wolf conservation.
Well, let's go look at some of these creatures. I see one right there in front of us.
That's Dad right there, trying to see if the pups are out. I don't see Mom right now, so my guess is they're in the log right there. And they're out about half the time right now. Usually a little better in the afternoon to see them. They're growing. Every time I see them, they get bigger and bigger. And this is the largest exhibit here at the zoo for red wolves.
Largest in terms of space?
Yeah, space. For us here at the Miller Park Zoo, this is our largest exhibit. And we've had as many as 10 wolves in this exhibit. And there's a chance we'll have that many next year if we're successful. We've had Mom and Dad, and we've got 4 male pups right now. And next year, if she has another 4, we could have 10 wolves in the exhibit again. So great way to talk about conservation and what we're doing for the red wolf.
They're not exactly red. They're kind of a reddish brown, but just another beautiful animal.
Absolutely. You know, these guys are set to blend in just enough in the shades. They are more opportunistic hunter. They'll wait to see something. They're not necessarily going to go out and hunt as much as they'll go along their territory, and if they see something, they'll go after it. So it's, again, an apex predator for, in this case, southeastern United States.
Again, did habitat loss cause their endangerment?
Habitat loss was a big one. Hunting was a big one, so trophy hunting.
We've just highlighted a few of the more prominent animals and programs that you have for species conservation, but they're not the only ones.
Now, we have probably about 20 species here that are either critically endangered, endangered, or threatened. But we're also part of 50 breeding programs across the country. So it may not be an endangered species, but we're still part of a breeding program to make sure they don't get endangered as well. So again, 50 programs here at the Miller Park Zoo.
Those would be?
Anywhere from the Sumatran tiger to quite a few birds, some of the tanagers in the rainforest, to the Tamar wallaby that we manage here, the wallaroo in Australia, Kookaburras in Australia, 50 different species throughout the zoo.
What is your most popular animal here that people really want to see?
You know, I think the front runner still, if it's not a baby, so, you know, like the red wolves, the snow leopards, the otters right now are very popular, but I think people come for to see the harbor seals. So we do a show twice a day with them, with feedings, showing off some behaviors, and educating them as well. So we have a show, and we have it narrated to try to educate people about harbor seals in general, what they can do to protect the harbor seal. So that's probably still the number one animal that we have here at the zoo.
Can we hear them?
The only time I really hear them maybe is at feeding time or late in the day.
Okay. So not right now?
I can't make them make sounds right now, so no.
Well, thank you so much for this tour. It was a real joy.
Thanks for coming out.
I'm Judy Valente.